anybody recognize that picture up there on the wall? Some of you have been there, have you? Good. I've been there too, at the top and the bottom. I've fished that part of the river many times, all the way to the headwaters, the Margaree. Anyway, you know who I am. I'm Bryden's brother. You got that? So you know who he is. Pierre asked me to give my testimony. He said I have 5 minutes, so who's going to time me? I don't know if I can put 40 plus years in 5 minutes, but I shall try.
40 plus?
40 plus, yeah. That's just leaving out a few others sort of thing. But I'm a farm boy from Margaree, and you would know that through my brother, I suppose. I'm the oldest of four. And I know what it is to split wood, and I know what it is to pitch hay, and I know what it is to walk behind a plow and all of that sort of thing. I'm of that vintage, that age. And so we do return every 3 times a year or more to my father's property. I have a cottage there. And that's sort of a place to rejuvenate and to refocus and to sometimes think and sometimes do more work than you want to do. When I look back in time, I began as a little boy, and I walked to Sunday school, to the Margaree Church. Most of you have been there. It's about 2.5 miles. And there were a lot of people who had influence in my life through the years, my mother, my dad, and people in Sunday school, pastors, and so on. And I'd like to emphasize faith here this morning. We can look for signs and wonders. We can look for all of those things. But I hear Jesus saying to Nicodemus that I needed to be born again. And I hear John writing in the first chapter that as many as believe in his name, he gives them the power to become the children of God, which you and I are by faith in Christ. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean it's going to be happening all overnight. It doesn't. My journey started, and I'm going to start here. It started before this, but I didn't recognize it. But one day I was standing in the yard, and my dad and my pastor at the time, I was about 14 years old. This was further from my mind. I probably wanted to go fishing rather than stand and talk to the pastor, to be honest with you. But suddenly he said to Dad and to me personally, "You need to be baptized." Well, I hadn't 40 clues what that meant. I knew about baptism. But I was nowhere near of being ready for baptism. And so he didn't leave the yard very long when I went in and talked to my mother rather than my father and said, "The pastor said I should be baptized. What should I do?" And Mother wisely said, "That's your decision, son. And you need to talk to the pastor about that." And I didn't get a lot of counseling at that point. Came to the day of baptism, mid-August, and there were a number of others being baptized. And we were supposed to give our testimony. And I said, "Holy, what am I doing now?" Testimony, how do you do that? Fortunately, I wasn't the first one to speak, and I listened very sharply to the rest who were speaking. And it went around the room, and it came to me, and I happened to be at the end of the line and coming that way around. And the only thing I remember, folks, of saying that day is I would serve the Lord somewhere someday. Well, that was the beginning. Was I ready for baptism that afternoon? As I look back now, no. But that statement that I made in the presence of those people stuck with me to right now. And so I was baptized. It was cold, not quite as cold as today, above the Crowder's Bridge or the Ingram Bridge, whichever you want to refer, in mid-August. There was about a dozen of us, I suppose. But it wasn't until I was 17 that we had special services. My pastor, who turned out eventually to be my brother-in-law, had an old gentleman come in, Henry Allaby. A lot of white hair, more hair than I've got now, and all of that. And it was at that point in time, at age 17, I went forward and accepted the Lord as my Savior. During that time, there were different people said to me, I remember one pastor saying to me, and I'm going longer than I should, I was afraid of that. I remember one pastor saying to me, "What are you going to do when you graduate from high school?" And I suppose I was in junior high at that point. And I said, "I think I'll join the army." people were talking about it. And he began to cry. I said, well, what happened to you? He said, oh, no, no, that's not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be in the ministry. I thought he was crazy, to be honest with you. But the Lord didn't let me forget that one either to this point in time. He was an old man, not able to relate to young people as we think they should these days, but he related to this guy because he cared. And he felt the Lord's call on my life that I, at that point, didn't recognize. Well, to make a long story short, it went from that age 17 to grade 12, graduated in 63, and some of my good relatives thought I should make lots of money. And, of course, I'd met my wife-to-be at that point, and she was having a hard pull on me. I had to be careful what was going on there. She lived in New Brunswick, and I lived in Margaret, so you can imagine what that was like. Anyway, the Lord used my wife as well to move me along the way, to be honest here. So my relatives thought I should go work in the Bank of Montreal in Glace Bay. Well, I didn't get in. Someone said I should go to what was the other finance company? I forget now. Doesn't matter. They wouldn't take me because I was too young. So finally I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to go anywhere in the banking industry, you'll have to open the door. And by that time, someone had suggested I go to the Inverness Royal Bank. So I did. And I remember distinctly praying, Lord, if I'm supposed to be in this institution, you'll have to put me there. Well, they accepted my application, shipped me off to Halifax for an interview. That was like going to Timbuktu for me and Marguerite at that point in time. And anyway, I went. And the long and short of it, within a week and a half, I was in the bank. And so in 1963, in November, I started to work for the Royal Bank of Canada, knowing full well that's not where I should be. And let me tell you this part of it. When I walked in the door that first morning, his name was McLean, if I remember correctly, he was an accountant. He shook my hand and he said, how does it feel to be entering your new career in banking? And quite frankly, folks, the bottom fell out of my stomach. So I knew very well that wasn't where I was supposed to be. However, the Lord led me stay there for nearly 4 years. In the meantime, Sherry and I were married in 1966, and I had four transfers in that period of time from Inverness to Sydney Whitney Pier to Halifax Armdale and back to Stellarton. And in the spring of 1967, God said, okay, this is enough. Now what are you going to do about it? My call to you. So in the vacation period in May, we went to Moncton. Shirley is from Grangeville out in Kent County, New Brunswick. And I went to what was then called United Baptist Bible Training School, is now known as Crandall University. And I went in and talked to Dr. Stuart Murray and said, look, I believe the Lord is calling me into ministry. Can I come here in the fall and start a three-year Bible program? He looked at my academic work in high school and he said, what are you coming here for? You need to go to Gordon College or to Acadia Divinity College. Well, I knew there was no way on earth that I could go to Gordon College because I didn't have any money then and don't now to speak of. So I said, no, I believe I'm to come here. And I don't know what the Lord said to him, but he simply said to me, sign here. And I signed for 3 years. And I started in the fall of 67. I resigned from the bank in July. And I went there in September. No money, no place, no job, no furniture. And a wife, a child to be born at the end of September. This is where faith really comes. How do you work when you study? I didn't know I could study because I'd been working for 4.5 years or 4 years. And so I went there and started, as I say, with no money and no house and a wife and a son on the way, as it turns out, our oldest son, Gordon, now. The Lord opened the door for a house. He opened the door for work at Sobeys at the big sum of $1 an hour back in those days. And we survived the first winter with no more debt. It's amazing because the Lord sent money that winter. I don't know to this day where it came from. Quite frankly, I don't know. I remember an oil bill come in. And I said, I don't have the money. The day the oil arrived, the money arrived. In an envelope, cash. I don't know who sent it. I don't. Anyway, paid the oil bill. And that's how it went for the next 5 to 6 years. So to speed this up, I went in with the idea of doing 3-year Bible. By Christmas time, I was convinced, yes, I can study all right. So I will change my mind. I will do what Dr. Murray said I should do. I need to go on to higher education. So I went to him. I said, listen, I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. He said, fine. We'll sign here again. Instead of 3-year Bible, we'll do 1-year Bible. And I will go off to Acadia Divinity College in the fall of 1968. Again, no job, no house, and still no money. And we had relatives by marriage in Wolfville, and I went and stayed with them for 1 month. And then the Lord opened the door for a house in New Minas. Guess how much it was a month? $50 a month. No money yet, and no job. And about that point in time, about the 1st of October, a retired missionary came to me and said, I'm interning down at Lawrencetown. I believe you should go there. I said, well, I don't know much, but if you think I can go, we'll see. Well, I did go. And they were going to pay me the big sum of $25 a week to do 2 Sunday services and a youth meeting on Sunday evening. And the missionary said, no, you're going to pay him $50 a week. He's a student. You've not got a full-time pastor now. You can afford more. So they paid me $50 a week. So now I have a job. Now I have a full-time classwork, too. And quite frankly, $50 a week was good because it paid the rent for 1 month. Oil was 19.5 cents a gallon for stove furnace oil at that point. And gas was, Pierre, you're younger than I am. I don't know what it was then, but it was summers around 50 cents a gallon. And that was a pretty good arrangement. Well, I won't take any more of your time, except to say at the end of 68 into 69, this same missionary had gone over to Chester Basin to interim there. And he arrived in the spring of 69 and said, look, you need to go to Chester Basin. I said, who told you that? He said, the Lord was leading me to tell you that. I went over and interviewed for a position. And so I ended up in Chester Basin, 1st of June, 1969, full-time pastor, full-time student, 3 churches, 3 services Sunday, 3 prayer meetings a week, all of that, and drive 100 miles, 50 miles one way, 100 miles return, 3 times a week to Acadia University. Let me tell you, it would work. But you know, the Lord provided. The journey was a difficult one. I couldn't do it today. It would take me out. But I did then with the Lord's help. And we weren't paid a big salary. I think our salary at that point was $4,200 a year. I looked after everything. The fuel, lights, phone, car, fuel, all of that. $4,200. But folks, the Lord was still there. And more than one Sunday, many Sundays, individuals in that congregation with no knowledge of my circumstances at all, or any of that, they would shake my hand, and in that hand would often be a $10 bill. Often. And I had a hard time with that, because when I worked at the bank, I was in control. I had a salary, and I didn't need it. But when I was where I was then, I did. And I never told anyone. It just happened that way, the Lord provided. And to finish this up, this is the way it goes. We spent 5.5 years there. I graduated from university while I was there. I was going to spend time with them afterwards. And the Lord said no. And I went to Fredericton Junction in November. We were there just about six years. And I said, I don't want to leave here. The Lord said no. And I'm not going to go into the details the next call, but we went to Hillsborough, New Brunswick. And we were there 10 years. And then we went from there to Heartland, and then to O'Leary PEI, and then back to Macnaquac, New Brunswick, close to 40 years. All along the way, I'm here this morning. All along the way. Walk by faith? Yes. By all means. Now I'm retired. We retired for about, 5 years, I guess it is now, Pierre. I was burned out, to be honest with you, at the end. I needed the time off. It was my own fault. I didn't listen to the Lord and listen to his people, too, to slow down. But anyway, we moved to Rishikesh, New Brunswick, as a Baptist church down the road from it. Pastor is Brent McDonald, good fellow, McDonald fellow, you see. And so I'm retired now, and I preach when I'm invited. I don't do interim work. I've got so many other things to do, it seems. I've got neighbors around me. None of them are Christian. None of them. And for them, I pray every day. Or we pray every day. I get to talk to them, some of them every day. And so the Lord willing, that will be my mission field at this point in time. I help my pastor and preach and so on. And now I'm helping your pastor this morning. He didn't tell me this until I came in. But that's a little of my journey. It's been longer than he had given me to speak. But nevertheless, let me emphasize this, that it is by faith and not by sight, necessarily. It is not by signs and wonders or any of that. It is by walking daily with the Lord, knowing that you and I, if we're Christians, we have with us is the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who will take of mine, Jesus said, and show it to you, and he will guide you into what? All the truth. And I'd like to close with this psalm. This is one of the psalms that another sign of 40 years going by. You've got to get this on because the arm won't reach long enough, farther enough now. Anyway, this is a psalm that has stood well by me for a long time and is familiar to all of you. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. There you have it. As many as believe in him, he gives the right to become children of God. And from then on, folks, it's a journey. A journey by faith in the presence of God with you in wherever you're at and whatever you're doing. Lord bless you.
Thank you so much, Marie. It's always a blessing to have someone come and share with us, isn't it? It's great. Everybody has a story, and it's wonderful. It's awesome that God calls people, and even in the confusion sometimes, and like that pastor that came and said, you need to get baptized, and the poor guy wasn't even saved yet. You know, the Bible's order is salvation first, and baptism followed. But that didn't stop the Lord from bringing Murray to faith in Jesus Christ and getting to know him. One